Your first spirit is the spirit to grow in knowledge, in understanding, in whatever. Right? It's the spirit to grow. Green. What else is the green? Green is a concern or an interest in us to move into the field or the area of freedom, possibilities. It's an urge to go into the future. The future is pulling us in the beginning, right? The future has a pull on us. The little baby that comes here, what attracts that baby to want to get with us and want to mix with us and want to do things with us? It's the possibility for that child. And that possibility is that child's future, isn't it? So we are here. The child has to come where we are. So that is beyond the child is pulling the child. The future is pulling the child. And that's what makes for growth. What is the principle that Muslims should live by? Is it the present? No, it's the future. Allah says, and the latter, or al-akhirah, is greater than the present. Isn't that what he says? The al-akhirah is greater than al-awwal. The first, the future, the end, is greater than the beginning. So as long as you keep that kind of interest, an interest in the future, then you're going to be more progressive. See, that's the green light. You got an interest in the future, you can go. And as long as the green light is on, as long as your interest is in the future, keep going. But now your interest ain't in the future no more, it turned yellow, slow down. Be careful. If it turns red, stop. So these are concerns, these are interests, right? And we know that they are seated or based upon what? Emotions. In our emotional makeup is where we get all these desires. We don't have no spirit unless you got emotional nature. If you ain't got no emotional nature, what spirit you got? Nothing. You have to be humanly sensitive. You got to be emotionally sensitive to get any kind of urge or any kind of desire for movement. The spirit didn't start by itself. Said in the darkness was upon the deep. And the spirit moved upon the face of the waters. All right? Didn't move by itself. It had to move upon the face of the waters. There has to be some sensitivity there. Then you get spirit. And men who study science, the science of water, they know you can get air out of water. You can convert water into air. So really the base of air is really water. All right. So what is this yellow? If the green is an interest in the future, what is the yellow? The yellow is an interest in the past. Yellow represents an interest in the past. So when you stop being interested in the future and you start getting concerned, your concern is now to know the past, this world say, slow down. Take it easy. Be careful. You might be in danger. They're telling you that we don't like that. We don't like your mind drifting back, going back to the past. As long as you want to follow the future that we show you, keep going. Black man, white man, red man, all you boys. Keep going. Now, when the light turns yellow, I mean in your mind, your vision. See, the light represents your eye. Green is in your eye. Then yellow comes in your eye. Yellow comes in your eye, you want to know the past, you see. So, okay, you better slow down now. Now, when red comes in your eye, red means you want to know the present. Red, now, I want to see and understand the present. Stop! Or you'll get a ticket or locked up. Right? Okay, so let me tell you how Allah, nobody have taught me this. I'm telling you how Allah have let me see the secret of those people who rule us. See, whenever Allah gets ready to make another ruler, he lets that ruler see the highest card. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. All right. So let us go on now, because I think this is good. So Allah says that he began all life from water. So when we lose our sensitivities, we are dead. We know he can resurrect us, because the same Lord says in the scripture, say, whether you be bones or dust or something harder in your mind to resurrect, you shall be resurrected. Praise be to Allah. And we know Job, he sat down in the dust, didn't he? He needed a revival. He was finished. All his friends laughed at him, but he had one thing going for him. He was still sensitive to the will of God. Though he had been reduced to dust, he was still sensitive to the will of God. Say, hey, why don't you curse that Lord of yours and get yourself out of that dust and live, Job? Job said, in all of my trials, in all of my trials and tribulation, I will trust in the Lord. Is that not right? And because of his commitment to remain sensitive to the will of God, there was a resurrection for him. Allah picked him up out of the dust and established him over all of his criticizing associates. All right? Allahu Akbar. Curiosity itself is a sensitivity. That's a sensitivity. And if you are not curious, you are mentally dead. All right? If you don't have any curiosities, you are mentally dead. How are we going to bring the mentally dead back to life? We were told in the olden days, in the first experience, that it's a matter of getting the rusty locks to turn. And you know, rust is dust. Rust is dust forming on the steel or the metal, right? And it causes the metal to become irregular in its surface. And you go to put the key in there, it won't turn, because the metal is now irregular. And it can get so bad that you put the key in there and the whole thing fall apart. That's the Belalian on the bottom. His poor mind, that ain't nothing but rust. You put a key in his mind, man, the whole mind fall down. Just crumble to dust. Now, you know, they got soap. They call ivory soap. I studied microbiology. Microbiology is the study of living matter in water, and it also includes in milk. Microbiology. So I studied that. I couldn't get what I wanted to, so I studied that. And in one of our laboratory experiments, we were testing the strength of two soaps, ivory and castile. It was determined that, reasoned that from the experiment, that ivory kills most of the bacteria. It kills the bacteria in total, just about, all the bacteria you would be expected that you would want to kill on your skin or whatever you're washing, in 3 to 7 minutes. But the Castile killed it in 1 to 2 minutes. The Castile. Now, you know we've been talking about rusting the metal, right? Iron. There's a soap called Castile. Now, it's not spelled steel like steel. Cast. Steel. That's the name of a soap. All right? So if you can cast the intellectual potential and the moral potential in the human being until it's steel, until it can't move, then you got something to clean him with. That's when he's unruly. When he's unruly, you can't do nothing with him. So first you got to steal his mind in order to work on him. Because his mind is the block between helping him and you. Between the help and the one that's going to do the help, right? You can't reach him. You can't help him because his mind is a block between that. There's the problem and here's the one to help. But the helper can't get to the problem because of the mind of the donkey blocking the way, right? So they say, oh, now these unruly, defiant people, how are we going to clean up their mind? How are we going to clean up their mind, clean up their thinking? Cast their mind as you cast steel. And it will clean them up, make them germ-free in 1 to 2 minutes. Or use ivory and clean them up in 3 to 7 minutes. I hope you follow what I'm saying. This is symbolism. What I'm telling you is that just like first man was thrown into the natural environment and he saw meaning and messages in symbols, the wise man has kept that language. And he puts things out in your environment, and those things represent his language. To you, it ain't nothing but soap. You go there and you buy ivory soap. To you, it ain't nothing but soap. The difference between the ivory soap and the Castile to you is perhaps nothing. For some, it may be, oh, yes, but a Castile, I like the way it makes suds. I like the way it quickly suds up. I like the way it rinses off so clean, smooth, so nice. You know, so you have your preference, but the meaning to you is not the meaning to the wise man in the Eiffel Tower. All right? So he says, Castile means purifying these people's minds. They are corrupt by bringing their minds to a standstill. Cast their thinking process. Until it's still. Oh man, that's impossible. No, it ain't. Most of you all out there in the streets, you got Castile minds. Now, something that has been designed to follow a certain pattern, something that has been designed to follow a certain line of progress. If you take it out of that line of progress where it can't make any more progress in that line, maybe it can run around the zoo. It still got motion, but it has been stopped. All right? So that's what we are talking about. We don't mean you don't think anymore. You still think, but you don't think in the natural line of progress. Because you're not thinking in the natural line of progress, your thinking has been arrested.
All right. All right.
And some they say with lead. And you heard the expression, he got lead in his pants? It didn't say in her dress, it said in his pants. You can arrest you with lead too, right? And here lately they're saying, take lead, take zinc. Good for sex. You killing yourself. Killing yourself, right? You eating that stuff and you're killing yourself. It means something altogether different to the one who wrote the language. No, pardon me, they don't say lead for sex. Zinc for sex. Take zinc for sex. But zinc is a metal like lead, isn't it? Heavy and inexpensive. Yes. Now, what is the problem? What is the problem? The problem is one of passions. That's what all of this higher knowledge says. That the problem of establishing yourself as an intellectual person, establishing yourself as a forward-moving, progressive person, the problem is in your emotional makeup. And the passions build upon the emotional base, right? In the emotions, they develop passions. A stronger form of emotion is passion. And we were told that the black man is the original man. Isn't that what we were told? And we know from a study of colors that colors are associated with passions, spirit, emotions, passions. So if black is a color, then let's see, what is it saying about us if we are black people? You know, we didn't call ourselves black people. Do you know that? Never did we call ourselves black people. The colored man, I should say the coloring man, called us black people. Yes, the coloring man, he called us black people. And he got science for each color. Now, what is he saying about Africa when he says they are black people? If you're just picking a word, couldn't we have been called white people? Sure, right in your mind now is this. But couldn't it have started off being black? White could have started off being black. So the man that picked the colors, he's saying something. Now, what is he saying about Africa and black people when he say you are black? That's what we want to know. I want to know it. The Lord knew I want to know it. And he thought I was good enough to be told. Allahu Akbar. All right. So we're told that the black man is the original man. So if the black man is the original man, and mind you, that this man who brought us this symbolic language, or symbolic terminology, this man was one of those people. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that he was one of the scientists. And because he had more knowledge than any other rest, he became the god of the scientists. That's what we were taught. 24 scientists, 23 scientists met in the root of civilization. in Mecca concerning the lost foundation of Islam that they should return to their own. So they sent a messenger to them to teach them of their own. And Honorable Elijah Muhammad explained that to us, that that messenger was the mystic that taught him. So he was one of 24 wise men. He made the 24th one. 23 met. And they met with him. He was the 24th one. And they accepted him that he should be the God. But he, not a God, became the messenger. And he introduced himself as who? No, as a professor. But he played on their minds. He influenced their minds to see him as the return of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in doing that, then they called him prophet. And they called him a messenger also. But none of that terminology stayed. When he left the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he did away with that terminology. And he said, no, I'm the messenger. I'm the apostle. That was God in person. That's what he said. All right? So how are we to understand that? Is that the Quran? No. That's foreign to the Quran. That's rejected by the Quran. So how are we to understand it? We are to understand it in its proper place, in its native place. Its native place is the Bible, Western Christian science, and all that they have built upon it. That's where we are to understand it. The Bible says of Moses. Say, all right then, Moses. Then you make Aaron your messenger. And you become a god to him. Isn't that what the Bible said? So here now, the prophet becomes a god. And he commissions his another one, Aaron, to be his messenger. And again, the Bible, the scripture says, henceforth, the minister shall be the messenger of God. That's what the Bible says. Henceforth, from now on, mean we're doing away with the old meaning, with the old labeling. From this time forward, the messenger shall be called God. That's your Bible. I don't know what chapter, I don't know what verse, but if it's not in there, I'll pay you. If it's in there, you pay me. All right? It's in there. All right. So this terminology is not Islamic, not even Judaic. The Jews, the renegade Jews, those Jews who were renegades, those Jews who rebelled and went astray from the direction that the Moses gave them, they were the ones who invented this. And it came into the hands of the European man. And he used it. And he made his God in his own image on the cross. This is the truth. Now, if you're a Christian here and you don't like it or this offends you a little bit, believe me, my intention is to do nothing but heal you. I love all of you. I have nothing but soothing stuff here. If it burns you, it's because your attitude is wrong. Yes, let us continue now. So, black, what is this meaning? Black. The Bible says that the angel came to Mary to inform her of God's blessing of a child that would be born of her. From her, is that right? And says, when the angel came, the angel overshadowed her. What color is a shadow? And then the white man called us in his theater his shadow. Me and my shadow. before man becomes a real entity, before he becomes a real structured man in a human body, he's just a spirit. He's just a shadow. He's just a spiritual in makeup. The object is solid. You strike it, you hit it. The shadow, you go through it. It's symbolic of spiritual. A spirit without a body. So when the white man called us black, he's calling us spirits without bodies. So, brother, find yourself a body, please. We got one to offer you. It's yours. And you who believe in Elijah Muhammad, then you should accept what I'm offering you here today. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, who is your, and what is your own self? Did he say your own self is an African? Did he say your own self is a black man? He said your own self is a righteous Muslim. Allahu Akbar. All right. So that's what we're offering you. We want the white man to stop laughing at us. Allah has blessed us with insight and knowledge equal to his and better. We don't want to just have it to ourselves. We want to stop this white man from talking over our head and laughing at our people. We want you to have what we got. And when he talk about your color, say, wait a minute. See, I know what you're talking about. You ain't talking about this color on me. You don't have no problem with black pigmentation. You wear black tuxedos. You wear black top hats. You wear black bow ties. Your most formal, your most distinguished black, your address is dominated by black. Now, white man, I know you ain't got no problem with black. Now, what the hell you mean when you call me black in a derogatory way? Now you got Satan by his balls. Excuse me, please. Yes. Now, there are many things I would like to tell you today. Yeah. The Lord willing, I'll be around here. It looks like he's giving me my strength back again. I feel pretty good. Oh, yeah. Praise be to Allah. Now, this mystic who brought this strange religion, strange package for the black man to the United States, to Elijah Poole. Can anybody pull that blackboard up a little bit here? Be happy, brothers. That's all. Just be happy. Believe me, just be happy. Ain't no time for us to have no jealous quarrels and no jealous tugging and pushing and shoving between us. Allah have done such a wonderful thing for us African-American, black folks, Negroes, and colored people, and in Belalians. Ain't no time for none of that. Now look here. Man name was Pooh. That was the name he got as a child of America, of the United States. He didn't have that in Africa. Got that over here. Pooh. Now, you know, that's a silent E, right? So since it's silent, let's take it off. Now what you got? And what is a pooh? Water. So where was Elijah? He was in the water. Elijah was in a pool of water. And the mystic came and got him, and he chose him because of his name. His name was Elijah. Pool. When he found that one, he favored that one to be messenger. Messenger to who? The black man? Yes. On one level. Messenger to the world on another level. Oh, you trying to say that your father, you going back on what you taught? No, I'm not. You just listen. Now, what does Elijah mean? What does the word Elijah mean? God is what? They say Elijah means Jehovah is God. That's what they say. Elijah means Jehovah is God. Now, in the Bible, there are two concepts of God. Three, really. But in the beginning of the Bible, the Old Testament, there is the concept of God as Jehovah. In the New Testament, there's the concept of God as Christ Jesus. Right? Now, Elijah means Jehovah is God, not Jesus. Jehovah is God. But this knowledge of who is the real God was in a pool of water. See, this is the symbolism. This is the science. This is the hidden language of the 24. All right? Now, don't look for 24 people. Look for 24 hours in the day. Yeah, because they take you from light to darkness and back again. All right. Now, if Elijah was in the pool of water, then the real God was in the pool of water. Pool of water. What is a pool of water? Pool of water represents your basic the earliest form in your emotional makeup. The emotional makeup, it develops too. But the earliest form in your emotional makeup is described as water. Water is sensitive, right? Very sensitive. Then we have a higher level of emotion that we call properly emotion. That's air, right? It is above the surface of the water. It starts with the top of the water, surface of the water, right? That's air. But also air is in the water, isn't it? H2O, hydrogen and oxygen, is in the water. That's what water is made of, you see? So that most early form, the earliest form of your emotion is to do what? What nature God gave you in your emotional makeup? First, what's the first nature that we find in the baby? The nature is to be at rest. The nature of water is to be at rest. If you leave the water alone, it becomes still. It rests. And it's not satisfied until it has found its resting place. It won't stop on a curve. Can't rest on no curve. No hill. No. If anything, it goes on down. And it fills the crevices and everything. And it levels out. Right? Becomes perfectly level. I remember, I think they still got them. We used to work for the carpenter, and we had a level with liquid in the glass to make sure that whatever we were doing was level or at the right angle. All right? So it is saying that the true knowledge of God is in the pool. In the pool of what? In the pool of our sensitivities that want to be at rest. At rest, what do we mean here? Want understanding. Want understanding. Elijah Muhammad was one of those black people or African Americans of the ghetto who was not satisfied with what the white man had given him. He was one of the what they call the discontented masses. And we know his history, his family, my grandmother, and many of them have told us about him. Say his father was a preacher, but he never would stay in the church. And he would argue with his father, who was a Baptist preacher for a Methodist preacher. No, he's a Baptist preacher. A Baptist preacher for 50 years, pardon me, down south in Georgia. And my father would always argue with him. My father wouldn't go through the school. He wouldn't go to class for the ministers. He would read the Bible on his own. And then he would argue with those who were being taught the Bible. And he didn't have nothing to argue with him with but the jawbone of an ass. So along come the mystic and picks up the jawbone of the ass. Then he used the jawbone of the ass to beat the army of the New Testament. All right. So, Poole, don't forget that. Elijah Poole. Now, who is Elijah? Elijah is light. How do we know that? Elijah is not only a name, but Elijah is light. Elijah is also fire. How do we know this? Because the Bible says that Elijah was terminated in a whirlwind of fire. The Bible also says that Jesus, peace be upon the prophets, he took his disciples up into the mountain to show them himself. But he showed them at first Elijah as light and Moses as light. And as they looked at the two, they thought Jesus, according to the New Testament, was trying to instruct them to not look at me no more. They thought he was telling them, I'm going away. Don't look at me no more. Don't follow me no more. Now follow the light of Elijah and Moses. This is the New Testament. But when they saw the two lights, Elijah and Moses, the two embodiments of light, merged together into one light, and they looked around for Jesus and they couldn't see him, they couldn't find him. Then they understood that what he was saying is that me and myself, me and my mission, I am the light of Elijah and the light of Moses merged into one light. They call it the configuration. Is that not right? Yeah, some of you who know, you know about it. All right. Now, Elijah then is not a body. Don't think of my father. Reason why the man picked him because his name was Elijah, because he was Elijah. No, he was that person. He had the genes. No, he picked him because he had the name. And I'm sure he had ran into other Elijahs. In my life, in this community, I ran into many Elijahs. But to my knowledge, no Elijah Poole. I imagine I can run into Elijah Poole too, but I haven't. He ran into an Elijah Poole. And I'm sure he said, my God, just the fellow I've been looking for. He said, boy, this will carry a good message. Elijah in the pool. Okay. So now, Elijah, what did Elijah say? To let you know that his language, pardon me, carried the signs of the evidence, the proof, that such a man that I'm presenting to you right now as his mystic teacher taught him. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, my ministers are a flame of fire. Isn't that what he said? He said, my ministers are a flame of fire. That's tying it in with Elijah. Elijah, they say, means Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. So what does it mean? Fire is God. But fire is symbolic of something else. What is fire symbolic of? Knowledge, science. What is also symbolic of? Passions. And people in the history, now don't take this, the imam is teaching us wrong. This ain't Islamic. Hey, man, I'm talking to you. And you're supposed to know how to place what I'm telling you by the way I'm giving it to you. Put it in its proper place as I'm giving it to you. I didn't say this came from the Holy Quran. Straighten up, Yaqub. Shabazz 56X. All right, okay. So what they're saying is that fire is God. And then they give us a Jesus and they say he is the Son of Man. A play on S-U-N. Right. And the sun is a ball of fire. Right. The Iranians used to worship fire as their God. You know that? Yes. And many other people used to worship fire as their God. And it was the revelation that saved them from that. Allah says in the Quran, O man, worship neither the sun nor the moon, but worship the Lord who created them both. So we know that their concept of God is wrong. But nevertheless, here is a mystic, one of the 24. Now he comes and finds his man among the donkeys. And then the Bible say, you think, I'm not talking about just the Negro, I'm talking about the ignorant masses. That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in the last part of his mission, he got a revelation. Not from Allah, as we understand it. He got a revelation from the knowledge, from the message he was given. And he said, no, I'm not just the messenger to the black man. He said, I'm the messenger to you all. Isn't that what he said? Why? Because he came to know that really the sign that he represented was not a message that speaks to black only. The sign that he represented was a message that spoke to the world. Brother Imam, be careful. Now you be careful. My light is green. Praise be to Allah. All right, now, here is a man that was told things that he began to see gradually, and they began to open up. You know, sometimes when you're working a puzzle, every piece is just as difficult. But sometimes you throw together about five pieces, and the rest of it becomes, you just throw them into place. Well, see, understanding come in spurts like that. You work on something for years, and you just manage to see a few parts to the puzzle. But all of a sudden, it just comes in spurts. On the basis of what you've already seen, the insight or the spilling into the other just make it jail. Everything just jail all of a sudden. You throw it together. And I believe in the last days of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's life, most likely in that time period when I was giving him hell, I believe that he saw deep into his own thing. And when he saw it, he didn't tell me like he used to tell me. He told me before. He said, son, you got it wrong. He told me that at one time. But when he saw it, you know what he told me? He didn't tell me. He told the whole table of staff and family. My mother was sitting there. He said, our son got it. He said, Clara, isn't this what we hope for? He said, my son's got it. Now, what he was listening to? You can get a copy of it. Go to Chicago and go on that radio station. We can give you the information. And go on that radio station and tell them to give you a copy of my talk on that radio program. That's what he was listening to when he jumped up and said, my son's got it. And if you listen to that, you wouldn't understand. You wouldn't understand anything. Because you know what my talk was on that show? Mythological gods, the burden on America. That's what my topic was. Mythological gods, the burden on America. Now, I didn't tell the people that logical God and he's burdening America. And I didn't tell them that Farad Muhammad is a mythological God and he's burdening America. But I think they got a hint. Because the lady, she just told, she said, I just want to read that book. When you get through with that book, I told her the book I was writing, and I was discussing it on the, on her program. She said, I want to have you back on when you get the book, and please give me a copy. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad heard it and jumped up out of his seat. He clapped. My son's got it. And his face flushed with blood. That's right. Got many witnesses to that. And this was the tape that the officers of the FOI brought to him to bust me. They thought they were going to get me put out again. And instead of him reacting like they thought, he said, look, he said, Shah, as Yusuf Shah, the minister in Chicago, right? He said, don't you talk all the time and hold my son up. I want him to talk. See, Yusuf Shah, he would talk, and I'd get up there, the night was spent, or the day was spent. And my father didn't like that. He said, you let him talk. I want him to talk. He said, don't you take up the time like that. That's what he told Yusuf Shah. And when I was getting ready to leave, I was greeting him. We all were getting ready to leave. He said, I want you all to know that my son can go anywhere he wants and teach. And he looked at me. He said, and son, preach that gospel. He was talking about what he heard on that tape. He said, and son, preach that gospel. Now, this is the man that my competitors, those who are in competition with me, called the traitor, the one who betrayed Honorable Elijah Muhammad. All right. Okay, let's take that off, and we ain't gonna be here too much longer. But let's continue now. What did he say also? Just get this through as quick as we can. He said that there are two germs in the black man. A white germ and a brown germ. And he said the white germ was grafted out into a white man. The white European man. Caucasian. That's what he said, right? He said, but there still exists in us the brown germ. He said, but I was told that there's coming a time when he's going to take that out of us too. Isn't that what he said? All right. Okay. Now here is the black conceived as being the best. Conceived as being original. Then I said black means spirit. That's what I said earlier, didn't I? Black means spiritual embodiment. Black. Okay. Now, when we are born here fresh into the world, do we know our bodies? We don't even know how to walk. We can't sit up. We can't talk. We can't use our bodies. But we are alive in that body that we don't know the use of. Is that not right? So what are we at that time? Spirit. Spirit. Our form is spiritual. And we show emotions. We show temperaments. We show fits. We show fits of spirit, etc., right? Under certain conditions. Yes. But as we get older, then we are able to use our body. We show social intelligence, etc., right? Okay, so black now, he says, black man is the original man. And that part is the best part of him. And when he conceives wrong ideas, then he gives himself to
another part of himself. He gives himself to the Germans, white or brown. According to this particular mythical or mystical science, all right? What does the white represent? Oh, you say the white man. What is man? Man is mine, isn't it? Yes. When you're a boy, you're not able to manage your own mind. So grown-ups, your parents or grown-ups, have to manage, supervise your own mind for you. Is that not right? So you're a boy. You're not a developed mind. You're not able to manage your own mind. But when you become a man, then you are mine. That means that you have developed the ability to operate, to function as a mind. You see? That's what it means. And that requires certain direction in your mind, right? And that direction is spirit, isn't it? Yes. That direction is spirit. If you are not directed and influenced toward a certain direction, then your mind doesn't have a direction. But if your interest, or the influence in your mental makeup has a direction, it serves to order and direct your whole mind and your whole body, your whole life, your environment, everything. All right. So, says, and the Spirit overshadowed, Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and she became pregnant with child. What is child? What is the sign of pregnancy with child? When the germ is fertilizes the egg and growth toward a definite form, a definite goal begins. Is that not right? So, first the ghost overshadowed her. So we're talking about the black man, talking about you now. Now you are black, right? You're black. You see, that's what they say, you're black. And now if the black overpowers you, what will happen? If the black overpowers you, if the spirit of your nature overpowers you, then you'll come under nature. Meaning this, you are given now to just spirit, to do this, to do that, on impulse. You see? But if that ever overpowers you, and overpower means that it takes control over your mind. If that ever takes control over your mind, then your mind to follow your appetite will stop. And when your mind to follow your appetite stop, then you're going to come under natural process, the natural process. And the natural process will evolve you from 0 to 1 on up into the age. Can you follow what I'm saying? I think you can. I don't think I need to give you any more explanation. All right. Now, he says that the black is good. It is. But black can be bad, can it? It can be bad until that nature either overpower you or light come in to the darkness. If light come into the darkness, you got hope. If the darkness overpower you, that is, it dominates your own thinking and prevents you from following your own crazy, haphazard life, and bring you under the force of fear. Isn't fear original? And fear is black. Fear is a spirit. And bring you under the force of fear. If you ever can come under the force of fear, then you will start finding the way. So you either have to be brought under the fear, or you have to be shown the light. When the white man had most of the African Americans under fear here in America, they were trying to live intelligent lives. When they broke from the grip of fear, they started destroying themselves. Isn't that a fact? All right. Okay. We're talking about black. You didn't know black had that much knowledge in it, did you? Praise be to Allah. This is good for us. All right. Now, he says that there's a white germ and a brown germ in the original man, in the black man. And if you can mate the lighter germs with the lighter germ, you will eventually be able to graft the color completely out of this original color, which is black, into white. Now, we know white has a good meaning. White means pure. Right? Yes. So white has a good meaning. White means innocent. White has a good meaning. But white also has a bad meaning. Now, from what, from what source? In what source does white have a bad meaning? In Scripture. Scripture, Bible says, and their color are not the color of the children of God, but the color of leprosy. Leprosy is white. So that's a white, that's white, but it's bad. Leprosy in the skin is the absence of pigmentation in the skin. The absence of pigmentation in the skin means what? The absence of that emotional nature to be given to its emotional pattern or its emotional disciplines. Some red, some yellow, some green, some blue, different colors represent different emotional disciplines or different emotional orientations in the makeup of the human being. All right? So if pigmentation is gone and there's nothing but white, then that's not the white of innocence. That's not the white of purity. That's the white of disease. Leprosy is a disease. And the word leprosy is a play on leopard. Play on leopard. The leopard is one that has spots, right? And leprosy is spots and blemishes in the skin, right? And a leopard is not a lion. A lion is a dignified king. He doesn't fool you. He lets you know you're in trouble, buddy. But the leopard go all about all sneaky like. You don't even know the leopard gonna attack you. Going all about creeping. You if the leopard catch you looking at it, the leopard will turn his head like it ain't interested in you. And all of a sudden that leopard pounced upon you, right? The leopard is a sneaky animal. Sneaky animal. He's a sneak. You see? So the leprosy in the skin represents the deceiving mind. And the Bible and the Quran call the devil the arch deceiver. Hey, what are you doing, Brother Imam? You helping the Farrakhan them? Well, tell him I'm helping him. Maybe he'll come on back. Praise be to Allah. All right. So leprosy, one white represents innocence. It represents innocent conscience. It represents open-mindedness. It represents moral goodness, purity. One white. The other white represents the absence of the human nature in the emotional makeup. When does the human nature leave the emotional makeup? When you think that you have a knowledge that you should live by, and that knowledge is what you should trust, and not your own emotional makeup or your heart or the nature, the emotional nature of the society, then you have become a white devil. That is, if your plan is to protect or secure the moral life of society. Now here you have a man, a white man. His plan, his whole strategy is to secure the moral life of the society, right? But in doing that now, he has learned that a science that he can use on society to take them in and out of their nature. And in taking them in and out of their nature, he violates the principle of faith. He violates the principle of love. He violates the principle of human emotionality. Are you following me? What I'm saying is perfectly clear, but I'll slow down and back up if I have to.
All right.
Now, so that person, when they take on that nature, they become a white devil. Oh, see there? I told you he was going to teach Donald Elijah Muhammad's teaching. Told you he was going to come back to the old teacher. Didn't I tell you that, brother? Man, this teaching is older than Elijah Muhammad, older than Farad, older than all of them. The Bible says, and that serpent, Satan, the devil, transformed himself into an angel of light. That's leprosy. That's leprosy. Allah didn't make us to be angels. Allah made us to be rational, emotional beings, not angels. That's leprosy. But you don't understand it because God hasn't shown it to you. All right. Or the devil didn't share it with you. So he says, white means weak bone and stale face. You remember that? Weak bone and stale face. What is bone? Bone represents parts in the structure that gives structure and strength to the form. All right? So what does it represent in the mental makeup? It represents logic. Bone represents logic. It's the moral logic. The weak bone mean his moral logic is weak. And stale face, what is a stale face? Stale means that he has there's no life in his face. He looks dead in the face. That's Catholicism. Yeah. And that's the essence of Christianity when you see it in its symbolism. It's nothing but asceticism. Most Christians can't live Christianity, and they don't even require of you that you live Christianity. They require of you that you live nothing but the principle of love for Christ and your fellow man. I give you but one commandment: love God with all your heart and your fellow man as yourself. Isn't that it? That's not Christianity. That's one principle. That's not Christianity. You can't live Christianity. So Christianity has to be lived by strange fellows. The Pope, excuse me, you can tell him, he will do nothing but laugh. He said, my God, did really a black man say that? I don't believe it. Really? Where is he from? Say Chicago. What? You mean a nigger? Say he's Elijah's son. Oh. So Elijah, he didn't like us. No telling what that nigger was capable of. Praise be to Allah. This is wonderful. All right. So he says a weak bone and stale face, right? We're talking about white, the so-called white. See, you were told white, but when I was a child, they didn't teach it to us like that. They said, who is the colored man? That's how we were taught it. The answer is the so-called white man, not the true white man. The so-called white man are Caucasian, Yakub's grafted devil, the skunk of this planet Earth. And I bear witness that that's true. That's just what they are. The coloring man who colored us black and used this secret language to put us beneath everybody else, he is the skunk of this planet Earth. Praise be to Allah. This is Al-Islam. This ain't Islam. Islam means your Islam. Al-Islam means the Quran religion. Yes. And I can prove that from the Quran. Yes. Maybe I should do that. I think I... It says, count not your Islam as a favor to God. It says, Islamakum, your Islam. It used Islam as a favor to God. Say, but it's a favor to you, right? And Allah says in the Quran, and this day have he completed his, perfected his religion and completed his favor on you, and has chosen for you Al-Islam. Now you deal with that spook. Too late for you. Too late. You can't argue with me. Believe me, I'm talking to the donkey head nigga that's still here, and he shouldn't be here. I just got rid of his donkey form and transformed him into a Superman, and he's still here with that donkey head. I'm surprised. Yeah. All right, praise be to Allah. Now, he says that there's coming a time when you're going to graft that brown germ out of you. So what is the brown germ? Brown is a combination of two colors, right? Red and yellow, I believe. You who paint, you should know. Is that correct? Yeah, you make brown by mixing red and yellow? I thought so. Okay. Okay, so what is brown, red and yellow? We're talking about colors as interest, as spirit, as passion, right? Passion, an emotional trend, a color, an emotional trend. So we're talking about it as a passion. So passion is what? An appetite in your spiritual makeup is a passion. Is that not right? Okay. So if brown gonna be grafted out of us, what is that brown? A passion for your blood. Red is blood. And blood is symbolic of what? Blood is symbolic of the appetite in your social makeup. Right? It's the appetite in your social makeup. Now, what is the appetite in your social makeup? The appetite in your social makeup, the basic, because after all, these colors are called basic colors, aren't they? The appetite in your basic makeup, social makeup, is what? Sex. That not right? Sex, hugging, kissing, having fun, playing, right? Right. That's red. That's why they say stop. Yes. Yes. Before you kill somebody or yourself. But we know red has another meaning too, just like white have a good meaning and a bad meaning. There are seven colors, and there are seven good and seven bad. All right. Where is that in scripture? I'll help you all out a whole lot with the help of God. Jacob had to work for two wives, right? He worked 7 years for one, seven for the other. The one that he had to work for first, he didn't want that woman. That was Leah. Seven bad. Then he worked for the good one, Rachel, and he got her. That was the one he wanted. Seven good. Right? And how have we got more proof of it? Yes. The Bible said when the mother gave birth to the prophet Samuel, she said, "The Lord has blessed me. I have gotten seven sons in one son." Right? That's the Bible. Okay. All right. So let's keep going. So now he says he's going to grab the brown color out. So brown has a bad meaning. This is the bad meaning for brown. The bad meaning is that you got a passion for your for the basic urge or the basic passion in your social makeup. Now, isn't that our problem? See, we reject this man because he was wrong. He was just as wrong. He was just as wrong as Yaqub was. He's just as wrong as the renegade Jew was who sold European man the New Testament. Yeah. Just as wrong as they were. He's wrong. But that doesn't do away with the fact that the man was brilliant. The man was a scientist. The man was wise in the knowledge that he was teaching in. That doesn't do away with that fact. Didn't all of Elijah Muhammad tell us even the devil is wise? He said, don't underestimate him. Say his father taught him well. Say he is wise. All right. So understand this. We are not glorifying him. We are exposing him. All right. Now, he says that he's going to grab the one day they want to take that brown color out of us. The brown representing now yellow, which is mixed with the red. Here is a curiosity. Yellow represents curiosity. It represents caution, but yellow represents curiosity. Because after all, when you're cautioned, you become curious. See, a lot of us, it's hard for you to make the connection. How is caution and curiosity the same? Curiosity is a caution. Yes, curiosity is a caution. You see? So yellow represents a lot of things. It represents caution. It represents also curiosity. So when curiosity comes into the red, a passion to know comes into the passion for the social life, for the crazy things, that's danger. So they don't want that. In its ugly meaning, that's a danger. And that's what we have. We have a whole lot of so-called free masses, especially the African Americans, who now feel free and they have all these curiosities. They fools go in, but wise men dare to tread. Right. They have all these curiosities. They want to try everything out. And he's under his social instinct. All he want to do is hump and bump. So his whole camp is in trouble, right? Whole camp is in a mess. Yes. So he said, in one day, you're going to take that brown germ out of him. Well, buddy, look here. That's happening right now. My mission has been that particular job. Taking that brown, that bad brown germ out of you. Oh, yes. And I think I've been killing the white man, too. Not the good white man, the leprous. Oh, yes. And he said, don't you do it, Elijah. Say, leave it to me. Say, you can't kill the devil. Say, you will make a mistake. You'll be killing some of your own people. Well, Farad, go on and rest. We don't need you no more. I can handle this job by myself. Yeah. Your day is over. I've peeped your top card. All right. See how they get, see how quiet they get? You go in a church and you can bring the light as clear as day to a church. But if you start talking about Jesus, oh man, you're gonna get some vibrations. Now see, Farad have been put into us as God. And when I start talking about God, about your God, oh yeah. You start getting quiet. Well, slow down now, man. Well, that's your God. It's not my God. I don't need him. Don't need him at all. Never needed him. That's right. Never needed him. No. I needed Allah.
You're right. You're right.
Yes, but the body was created by God on the pattern of that original nature until it gets out of that, right? So when the original spirit leaves me and another spirit comes in me that is not original, then it lets my body, or it bids my body, to go off the pattern of its original nature. So when we say nature, we're talking about black. They call Africa Black Africa. Why? What the white man meant when he said Black Africa, he meant culture hadn't come there. Now, wasn't that bastard awfully daring? Oh, don't talk about the white man like that. That's a bastard. What are you talking about? No one knows what's wrong with you, you Uncle Tom-headed freak. And please leave all of this in the script. If you put this out as script, please put it all out. Just don't leave a word out. The Uncle Tom-headed freak. I want that to go in there. All right. We live in a world that thinks in white and black. And they want us to keep thinking in white and black. That means you either live in their white, and their white is the white of leprosy. White consciousness in this country, on this earth, is the white of leprosy. It's deceit. They want you to either live in white or in black. Their black is not the black of the original nature. Their black is the black of ignorance. The black of spirit outside of its native body. A mind that's not living in the context of its native body. That's what their black is. Now you look at the world, how it behaves. Look at them, how they look on Soul Train and on TV and on the opera. Look at them, how they act at the shows you go to. Look at them on the street corners walking up and down the streets on Saturday night and Friday night. Look at the people out there at any time and tell me, don't they look like human beings that have lost contact with their original bodies? That's their black, not the black of the original nature. Let us go on now. We come now to another concept in Scripture, bread. And I'm going to go to the board and just put bread up. If you're real tired, I don't care if you stand up and get your legs. Stand up while I'm at the board. Just stand up and work your legs a little bit. Won't be too long. This won't take me long. Inshallah, we get. All right, Did that help y'all a little bit there? I hope so.
Now, if you look to the board, and you see the word on the board is bread. Now, a good teacher that has, say if you got a child that can't pronounce the word bread. A good teacher, if that child doesn't have some really physical defect, a good teacher can teach that child how to pronounce that B-R, bruh. How do you do it? You separate it. You separate it into this phonetic units. Buh. It's buh. Don't try to make him say bruh. If you keep saying bread and he can't say it, stop saying bread, bruh, to him. Say buh. Tell the child to say buh, not bruh. Say buh. But most of us will say, if the child can't pronounce bread, we'll say bruh, bruh, bruh. And you keep trying to get him to say bruh. Don't try to do that. Get him to say buh. He can say that. Buh. Then say buh. He say buh. Say now say say red, red. Now say buh, red. Buh, red. Say it faster. Bered, 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 bread. Right? Okay, that's the way you do it. Now, we want to break that word down into its phonetic units. Bread is buh, red. So we know buh is the second letter in the alphabet, isn't it? Second letter in the alphabet. And we have red, R-E-A-D. And it can be pronounced read, right? Now, let's go and look at two other words. We're going to take that off now. Don't forget, keep that in your mind. Bered. And we're going to look at the language. English has B following the first letter, like Arabic. From thereafter, it changes. Arabic has, this is the most original and purest of the Semitic languages, Arabic. Arabic has same, A, B. See? A stands for what? A, Aleph. What does Aleph mean? Means your sociable nature. The social sentiments in your makeup, that's Aleph. That's what comes first. Ba stands for reflex. Two things now. You have the social influence and also your own direction. And they're influencing each other. Your social, the life that's formed in the social context, and now your own ambition. Right? These two things are working together now. That's ba. That's the second step. First, one nature. Nafsun wahida. Then it's made. Bad. All right? Please don't laugh at what I've give you. If you can't laugh at what I've told you so far, you can't laugh at anything I say. That's right. Please don't be donkeys, don't be fools. Be wise. And have great respect. Now, okay. So here is bread beginning with this second letter. So it's not the bread then, it's not the sensitivity, the social sensitivity, it is passion that comes into that social sensitivity. See, we get passions, we're ambitious, we become ambitious, don't we? We're born as babies in the social context of life, and we're influenced by that love and the environment of the family and everything, but after a while we get our own ambition, and sometimes our own ambition causes us to separate from our family. Right? So that's the ba, your own ambition. So here we have the ba and the red. So here is our passions, our ambitions connected with red. Now what is the red? The red is R-E-D. See? C-R-E-D. Red also is red color, R-E-D. This red is what I told you, the social passion. The social passion. You have the social nature, then the social passion, right? Okay, so this is the social passion. This is the bad one I'm talking about now, not the good one. This is the bad one, all right? And also we get out of that word red, see right here, red?
How do you pronounce it? Pronounce it read, right? So now let's put read. Read. What is a read? A reed is a cane-like plant. A reed is that part of the plant that's like a hollow pipe, a stem or something, right? And it goes up. It's got a hollow in the center. Reed, you know, reed pipe, the flute. So that's the reed. It's hollow inside, ain't nothing but air inside. On the outside is its form. And its form is circular, and its form grows up straight, right? So here, reed stands for the upward spirit. Straight, disciplined, upward spirit. And it's either that, this R-E-A-D, it's either this reed, straight upward spirit, upright spirit, or it's red. Passion and ambition, right? That's the bread. So the bread tells us the possibilities in your drive, right? Your possibility is either to follow a course that takes you up, or it's to follow ambitions that just take you out. Right? Okay. So, bread. Now, let us go on with this. Bread is called the staff of life, isn't it? Now, we have looked at the phonetic connections here. Bered, bereed, and connected it with the social affections. How those affections start out natural and develop into our own personal ambitions, right? Okay, now we come to graphic. Message and phonetic connection. And bread is made or baked into what we call loaves, right? Now, loaf, what does loaf mean? Loaf of bread. What does loaf mean? L-O-A-F. Now, if you don't mind, I go to blackboard again. L-O-A-F, loaf, right? L-O-A-F, loaf. How does a loaf look? I can take this off now. Let's put a loaf, let's make a shape of a loaf here. A loaf looks like this kind of, right? That kind of looks like a loaf? Doesn't a coffin look like that too? They say bread is a staff of life. I don't know about that loaf. All right. So that's a loaf. It looks like a coffin. It's a body with no branches. A body with no limbs. So if they're talking about me, and Jesus said, I am the bread, right? If they're talking about me now, human being, not Jesus, I'm not Jesus now. Don't get crazy, boy. I hope you can keep up with me. Now, if you take my limbs off, take all my limbs off, take my neck off, take every branch off this body, everything that's branching off of my body, take it off. Won't you have a loaf? Take everything that's branching off of my body, and you got a loaf. All right. And what they call a person who's just idle, his direction is nothing but idle time, a loafer. See, Allah taught Prophet Muhammad how to read. All right? And Prophet Muhammad got followers. They ought to be able to read too.
Now let's look at another form of bread they call rolls. Rolls.
Well, let's put roll up here.
Now, you know, roll is round, isn't it? You can make dipping rolls. They have a kind of shape, square. But if they shape square, they got a round top. Top is rounded, right? Call them rolls. Now, we know that it's too hard for them to, they say, hell, just make the top round. We just call them rolls. See, the man that's doing the language, he don't care what you think, as long as he knows what he's talking about. Now, what is roll? What is roll? Loaf means just hanging around. Yeah. Directed by idle time. That's idling is time away. Okay. Now, roll means you're moving, but you're rolling. Now, if this roll is rolling, let's look and see what's happening to it. Its motion is going in one way or the other, right? Let's say its motion is going this way. What's happening to that object as it progresses along a line of travel? It's going up and down, right? That's how it's progressing. It's progressing by going up and down. And they gave us rock and roll, right? So the rolling is a movement by rising and falling. That's how you roll. That's how you progress rolling along, by rising and falling. Now, did you ever hear any prophet say, let's roll on to the next meeting? Prophet said, pick up your bed and walk. He didn't say roll. Let's look at another bread now they make. Biscuits. A lot of us don't know the difference between rolls and biscuits. We go to a restaurant and see biscuits, say, will you give me one of those rolls? And the one that knows the difference say, oh, this is a biscuit. Now, what is a biscuit? A biscuit is something that has been cooked over. That's the definition for it. A biscuit is something that has been cooked over, double cooked. That's the definition for it. Now, can you remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the years immediately preceding his passing away, introducing a new bread and new cakes to us? He said, cook it over. He said, cook it twice. And I went to my house, man, after being away for a while, expecting to get some of my mother's homemade cake. Man, my mother could cook. She could handle the food, believe me. I was expecting, she said, would you like to have some cake? I said, yeah. You know, just say, what are you talking about? You know I want some cake. I haven't eaten any cake since I was here last. And man, she came out with that biscuit cake, cooked twice. And she knew something was wrong. Now, see, I'm the kind of person, I don't complain. I was eating it, and my mother could tell that something was wrong. So she said, son, that's not the cake that I used to cook. She said, your father told us to cook it twice. And it wasn't funny to me. So I tried it. I always have been curious. So then I tried to start thinking, how was it improved by cooking it twice? I said, well, I don't know. I just gave it up. Until I found the meaning and symbolism. And I'm sure the mystic called him up or wrote him a letter and told him the best bread is cooked twice. The cakes, too, should be cooked twice. And my father just took it and just told the community, now cook it twice. He followed without question. I said to myself, now, man, oh, man, now we understand what it means, cook it twice. Now, when we were given one idea of God and life in a made-up package, because after all, bread is made up, right? That did the job for so long. After a while, it became dull to us. It wasn't exciting us no more. Then all Elijah Muhammad came out with new bread. I'm going to identify it for you. The theology of time was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's second bread. So then he said, cook it over. All right?
Let's go on.
Is that the way you want to live? Is that the way you want to progress? Fix to a motion that's going to take you down and up just to get that distance? You go up, you got to fall just to get that distance. And look at the white man. Everything, all his best transportation is on wheels. That should tell you something. That his world represents up and down. And isn't that what it has been for you and me? Up and down, up and down, up and down. We don't have a constant line of progress. It's nothing but up and down. We're going already. You're right, we're going. Out of the 40s into the 50s, into the 60s, into the 70s, into the 80s. We're going all right. Up and down. Now the biscuit, spelled like this, B-I-S-Q-U-I-T, right? Now, biscuit, it has the word called circuit, right? What is a circuit? That how you spell circuit? Huh? That's how you spell it, I believe, isn't it? So you got biscuit and circuit, and the circuit is ending like biscuit is ending. And it's bread, right? Sir means what? To go in a circle. And this is the last part, circuit. It means a charge that's going in a circuit, right? And you have in your house the circuit breaker, right? Something get wrong with the one of the fuse, a light blow out or something, you go down and hit the circuit breaker, right? So here you got circuit, it's a charge that's contained. Circ means to contain. So you got a charge that's contained, it's confined, right? And here you got biscuit. Biscuit is also a spirit that's contained. It ain't circuit, it's biscuit. But I just put that up there to help you out a little bit. Help you out in what way? In the direction of faith. In the direction of faith. Because you are a rebellious people. A stiff-necked, stubborn, and rebellious people. I'm not talking about the good one. I'm talking about you. You know your names. All right. What is this biscuit now? Let's look at this biscuit and see the difference between biscuit and bread, a loaf of bread, ordinary bread. A biscuit is something cooked over, and a biscuit is what they call unraised bread. Unraised bread. Now, if Jesus said he, his body is the bread, that's the key. That's a clue, that's a key, to tell you that bread is a symbol, the wisdom symbol. It's a symbol that holds great wisdom. My body ain't no bread, but the wisdom that now has been locked up in the symbol bread is my body. My body of what? My body of knowledge. Okay. All right. This biscuit, this bread called biscuit, is made by combining with the wheat water, but also these three special ingredients to make biscuit: carbonate, acid, and starch. I remember the old folks used to make biscuits with soda. You remember that? Baking soda. Why? Because it creates acid and it has carbonate. It's called bicarbonate of soda, right? And it creates this acid, and if you put the starch with it, you put the baking soda, and you put a little starch, and you mix it with the flour, you make your biscuits, right? All right. So what does this represent in the language? We're talking about language here. And don't forget the topic. These are revelations, insights. But what is our topic? What is the theme? Did you forget it? The need for healthy sensitivities in our community, in the family, and in the community. It's called unraised bread. It's also called yeast. This what you put in the biscuit, the flour, is called yeast that is derived differently. Now, we know yeast ordinarily came from the stomach of the lamb. Yeast is an agent in the stomach of the lamb, the digestive system of the lamb. And they took that yeast, they found out that yeast would create air, a chemical reaction that makes air comes out. And the air would give inflation. It would inflate the bread, the dough, and would make the dough not flat, but make the dough rise. It would also make the dough have a easier texture to chew on. It makes it easier to chew. It makes it nice chewing. So they found that out in just experimenting as bakers, the history of baking. All right, so here is this dough. It doesn't rise. It's a bread that doesn't, it's unraised bread, they call it, and it's cooked over. Acid here, now, in the bread. Did any acid come into Jesus' bread? He called his body the bread. Did any acid come into his body? If acid came into his body, then what I'm giving you is a description of what happened to his knowledge, his message. And that's what I'm doing. I'm leaving it to you to accept it or leave it alone or to say shit to it. Whatever you want, doesn't matter with me. Doesn't matter with me a bit. It's for your good if you accept it. If you don't accept it, that's your business. All right. So when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says that he said, "I thirst." And instead of bringing him water, they brought him vinegar. Ask any chemist what is vinegar, he will tell you acid. It's a mild acid. So they brought Jesus acid, and they put acid into his body, or they put acid into the bread. So they changed his bread into biscuit. Something made over and something that doesn't rise up. And according to the Bible, after they did that, they took him down off the cross and put him in a cave that had never been used again. That had never been used before in the language of the New Testament. All right? And he did not rise until the roll was removed from the mouth of the cave. Now, how do you remove the roll? You have to learn the direction of logic in God's scheme. Then you don't have this old up and down movement, this old wheel. Oh, yes. When we make the Hajj, don't we go into a wheel? We go into the Hajj and we go into a wheel. And we make 7 circuits, right? We start the circuit off by doing what? Gesturing the symbol or touching the corner, the black stone, right? From black, then we go into the colors, right? And we go 7 times around, right? And when we stop at that corner and we go out. right? Go out from the point of original nature. You can't go out at any point you want to. You have to go in the door of original nature and come out of the door of original nature. That's the only way you can circle and be right. Circles in the world take you up and down and you never find your direction. Okay, let us go on now. So they say that he said, I thirst. And they brought him hyssops and vinegar. Hyssops represents the carbonate and the starch. The carbonate and the starch. They say the hyssop is something to treat high blood pressure. What do you mean to say I want to treat high blood pressure? What is the expression for treating high blood pressure? What is another way of saying I want to treat high blood pressure? I want to bring the blood pressure down. Right? You want to bring the blood pressure down. So to bring it down, you use hyssops. But here they mixed hyssops and acid together, and it wasn't just to bring it down, but it was to bring it down and keep it down so it wouldn't rise up again. All right? Okay. Now, wheat. It all starts with wheat, doesn't it? Jesus didn't make no bread. His body wasn't no barley bread. How do we know his body wasn't no barley bread? He talked about wheat. He didn't talk about barley and rye and other things they make flour, bread flour, right? He talked about wheat. So, wheat. Let's look at wheat now. It won't be too long. You'll be on your own in a few minutes. Let's put wheat up here. Wheat is spelled W-H-E-A-W-H. Yeah. W-H-E-A-T. Wheat, right? Now look at this word. Let's start with the W itself. W. What is W? It's just what it says, to you. All right, that's what W is, to use. All right, now it starts with to use, right? W, it starts with to use, W. But now, W, what else is W? W is a letter that asks question. With W, we say what, we say why, we say who, we say when, we say where. So W is our question word, our questioning word, letter, pardon me. It's the signal for questioning, asking questions. To use for asking questions. Say, what are you? Say, what am I, teacher? Say, well, you a homo sapien? What is that? A thinking being. That ain't enough. You want to know something else, right? And you're never satisfied. I haven't found a person that was satisfied with the definition they give us for ourselves. Only the definition that Allah gives us in Scripture satisfies us. Allah doesn't only say that we are thinking being, or we're homo sapien, or we're this or we that. Allah say you are Khalifa. You have been put on this earth to be in charge of yourself and your environment. That satisfies. That's satisfied. So there are two of us here in this body, right? One of us of the world, trying to satisfy the world, and the other one is the one that God created to satisfy him. Right? All right. So we have wheat. Wheat. And it starts off with W. This conflict. Starts off with this conflict. And the wheat starts with a seed, doesn't it? It's a little seed that's dead. You can't get no plant from no living seed. The seed must first die in order for it to come to life again. Is that not right? You a farmer crazy if he start planting live seeds. He plant dead seeds. Seeds that have died to their sensitivity. All the water's out of them. All right. So then he puts the seed in the ground, and when the right conditions come, the seed bursts forth. It has to get a new life, new moisture. It lost all its moisture, but now it gets new moisture. And in the right temperature and in the right environment, physical environment, it bursts out of its coffin. And up comes the new life, the structure, right? And what about this wheat? It's one of the grass, it's a member of the grass family. And grass doesn't have branches like a tree. Grass have tongues as its branches. We call it blades. Tongues branch off from the grass, right? You look at the blade of the grass, it looks like your tongue, shaped like the tongue. So it has tongues branching off from it. It want to speak. That's its urge. The urge of the wheat is to talk. And the scriptures say, and Jesus spoke while he was yet in the cradle. So the wheat comes up and its tongue shooting out. Oh, tongue. Hey, let me speak. Give me language. Give me language. What language it wants now. Because after all, the blades that look like tongues, they're just saying, I want to talk. I want understanding. I want language. But what is the fruit of that effort? The language or the knowledge of its nature, its origin. What is that told in? We're talking about symbolism. That's told in the maturity of the wheat. The wheat doesn't mature in fruit of that type. It matures in a seed, right? It starts with a seed, and its object is seed. So the object of the wheat is to bear in the open, to bear out in the conscience. The ground represents the nature, the potential. It wants to come out of the potential, out of the nature, into the conscience. And it wants to see its own nature, its own origin. So it bears the seed, the very thing that it sprung from, right? So it represents what they call ontological, or the knowledge to know yourself, to know self, where you came from. There's eschatological and ontological. Eschatological want to know what the end is. Ontological experiences want to know what I am, where I came from. Aren't those two big heavy questions on human beings? Where I came from, where I'm going. And in your traveling, what you want to know? To travel well, what you have to know? Your point of origin and where you're going. Because if you start out traveling not knowing your point of origin, most likely you're going to get lost. All right, now, since we've talked about that W there, now let's break it up again. This is what the devil didn't want me to give you all. This is what he worked so hard to keep me out of and to keep me from giving you all. But the angels came and they helped me beat his ass. Now, look at this word. Oh, they're in trouble, believe me. Look at this word now. You have heat. H-E-A-D, H-E-A-T spells heat. Right? So you have two U's, a double U, and another factor here, heat. You don't get no wheat without heat. All right? What heat represents? See, asceticism is cold, ain't it? That's a cold life. Nuns and monks. That's a cold life, man. So you ain't gonna have no growth toward your destiny or into your reality without some heat. You can grow into a monk or a nun or a hermit of some kind, but you ain't going to turn out to be no real human being unless you get some heat. Now, this heat is not just heat, but it's also eat. And you just can't eat in the heat anywhere. Eat at. Have a direction for your eating. Eat at something. Allahu Akbar. See, you're either at or away from. What do we call the wheat in Arabic?
I'll put the word on the board.
It's kham qamhun. Qamhun, that's wheat. Qamhun, wheat. Qamhun, wheat. Now, look what the language tells us. It tells us something. The Arabic language tells us something. Let's take the H off. H stands for nothing but the spirit. Where's the eraser? Mine right here. What is a long eraser? What is that word? Qum. Qum. What does qum mean? Stand up. Qum means to do this. Stand. Now, isn't our problem is the absence of the ability or the guidance to stand up for ourselves? To establish ourselves. Stand means establish. So qum means stand. Establish. Aqim is salat. Stand for prayer. Establish worship. Right? Okay. So qum means stand or establish yourself. How? Spiritually. How? Qumhun. Establish yourself spiritually. How do you establish yourself spiritually? With the guidance of God. That's the only thing can establish you spiritually. And believe me, that's the great challenge for human beings, to establish themselves spiritually. Show me any people that's not following a sensible or progressive line of life. I'll show you a people who are spiritually unestablished. I'll show you a people who are the victims of warring or conflicting spirits. So what is the staff of life then? If bread or wheat is the staff of life, what is the staff of life? To establish yourself spiritually. Oh, yes. Praise be to Allah. Let's go on now. We have the surah of the Quran called Suratul Quraysh. Suratul Quraishin, pardon me. The chapter called the Quraysh. What is this Quraysh? It's the name of a group, a human group. A tribe, a human grouping, a family, a tribe. And Allah says in that chapter, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ, for the protection of the Quraysh. Aren't you a family group? Aren't you an ethnic group? We don't call it tribe anymore, but aren't we a big tribe in America? Sure, you're a big tribe. Donald Elijah Muhammad called us, at the words of the mystic, the tribe of Shabazz. We don't want to just hear this and hear it and hear it with no connection. We don't want it to be suspended. We don't want it to make it touch ground. We want to connect it with our reality. So Allah says, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. Their protection is guaranteed or assured for them during or through the winter and the summer. That is, they travel through both winter and summer with a sense of security. What does the winter represent? The winter represents your spiritual side of your life. That's your winter. And the summer represents your social side of your life. Both of these can go to the extreme. The spiritual urge in you, or the spiritual curiosity in you, can take you into asceticism. Spiritual side of your life, that's your winter. And the summer represents your social side of your life. Both of these can go to the extreme. The spiritual urge in you, or the spiritual curiosity in you, can take you into asceticism. That's the ice house or the ice factory. That's where you freeze up.
And on the other side, you got the social nature, the social sensitivity. And if you carry that into the extreme, it will take you into anarchy, social anarchy, savagery, lust, narcotics, drinking, rowdy life, hoe hopping, and all the rest. So you are a creature with fine water. And if you don't trust and respect God, your fire will burn you up or your water will freeze you up. Yes. What will give us security? What will give us safe passage down the path of life? Okay, this chapter gives it to us. Therefore, worship the Lord, not the house. Those who want to criticize Muslims for turning toward the east to pray, they say, oh, those Christians, those Muslims say they don't worship an idol, but they turn toward that black stone. You turn toward Jesus Christ. But I don't hear the preacher telling you not to worship Jesus Christ, worship the Lord that created him. We turn toward the Kaaba, and Allah says in this chapter, worship not the house, but worship the Lord that created it. And they laugh at us and don't know that our religion is wisdom to awaken their minds and take them out of the mistake that they're in, to save them from the mistake that they have made. They turn toward Jesus' body, the temple of Jesus, to worship the temple of Jesus. And our signs say, don't worship the temple, worship the Lord that made the temple. Therefore, you should worship the Lord that made this house. He who gives them protection against hunger and protection against fear. As-salamu alaykum. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
As-salamu alaykum. Did you like that?
Yes, sir.
Nothing more need to be said. I have an announcement for you. All the believers of Masjid Fils Bilal, we would like for you to remain behind. Brother William Safir is going to talk to you about a project that we are trying to get you to give us the permission to negotiate on. We need your permission for a venture that we're about to undertake, which will be the acquisition of 33 acres of land that we can use for our collective farming project, in addition to the land that we're already collectively farming with the Christian farmer up there in Palmdale. So if you remain behind, he's not going to take too long, but he want to give you the information so that we can be able to make a decision and move on with our project. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.